You're listening to the God, Family, and Country Radio Show. Here's Pastor Kurt and Lance Hoppus.
Good evening and God bless you, South Texas. This is the God, Family, Country Radio Show, and I'm Lance Hoppus. In studio with me, Pastor Kurt. We also have a guest speaker who's going to be on with us. Pastor Kurt's going to introduce him in just a moment. But this is KTSA 550 on your radio dial. So if you're fumbling around with that radio dial, get your fingers off of there. Leave it right where it is because this is where you want to be. We have just gone through the most incredible time God has ever given to man, and that was the resurrection of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross, gave up all of everything on that cross so that he could defeat our sins. He accepted your sin, my sin, all the sins of the world on himself. He accepted all those sins so that those of us who believe in him and accept him as our only Savior, we have the promise of the gift of everlasting eternal life in the kingdom with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Lord God Almighty. So that has just taken place. Once again, we've celebrated it. There are now new circumstances literally coming up on our horizon that we're going to be discussing in depth tonight in this next 2 hours. You can hear us every Sunday night from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and we're going to get started in talking about the eclipse of April 8th. We don't believe it is just another event.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on. We're going to be talking about the eclipse that's going to take place, and it is powerful. There is meaning. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And we have an expert on that's going to be able to help us. And I'll tell you, it's a God thing. Holy Spirit spoke to me and asked me to make this phone call to our guest. And sure enough, when I made that phone call, he actually answered the phone. And, you know, you kind of expect sometimes when you're calling, you're going to get secretaries and all these other things. And Mark came by and picked it up. So let me introduce him for you. It is Pastor Mark Biltz, and he's the founder and senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. He is well known throughout the country, throughout the world, actually. He's a popular speaker, especially when it comes to things like the Feast of the Lord. And he's authored 4 best-selling books and videos that are going to be something. He's got a brand new book out that's called America at War, 2024 through 2026. That is not a giveaway from some of the things that are going on, but he's broadcasting pretty much all over the world, and it's really in a great honor. Pastor Mark, I'm grateful that you're with us on the God, Family, and Country Radio Show.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me on. What a blessing.
You know, the amazing gifts, you know, are your Jewish roots. The incredible gift of understanding Hebrew, the incredible gift of knowledge of what God gives us as the signs and the seasons, and being able to, which you've devoted a big part of your life to truly understanding what these are. And in fact, you were the one that really kind of brought it into play for the world. With the 4 blood moons that came in 2014 and 2015.
You know,
can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, before we get into that part,
yeah,
I would like to set this up so we have like a chronological kind of order that we're going in.
Okay.
Because all this, from what I've learned from you, Pastor Kurt, with my years being with you and everything, there's 2 calendars that are in existence in this world. And
well, there's more than that. There's
2 calendars that are important. Okay, there's the calendar that we live by around the world, and then there's God's calendar, right?
That's correct.
So, Pastor Mark Biltz, could you explain to us the difference in the 2 calendars?
Well, the problem with the calendar that we use, it's based only on the sun. And God, in Genesis 1:14, said he created both the sun and the moon for his calendar. Well, ours is very mathematically, scientifically correct, but it's not the one God uses. Iran uses our calendar. Theirs is based on the sun. But the Muslims use a lunar calendar only. And the lunar calendars are very scientifically accurate, but they're not the one that God uses either. Well, then there's another calendar, the Chinese calendar. Now, the Chinese calendar uses both the sun and the moon, but it is based on their pagan holidays. So the fourth calendar is God's biblical calendar that is based on both the moon for the months, the sun for the years, and that's the calendar we're to use. For example, when you go to work and your boss tells you he wants you to come in on Monday, and you tell him, sorry, that doesn't work in my schedule, let's make it Tuesday. How long will you be employed there? Okay, well, the church has forever been on the Roman solar only pagan calendar.
Right.
And so that's why we believe we're supposed to know the times and the seasons, but we're basically using an Iranian calendar. So we have to get back on God's calendar, because there are like a day timer. Think of it this way. If two people want to get married, they better agree on the date. Well, it's the same thing with God. His calendar is based, the problem is English. In Genesis 1:14, the number one reason is for signs. Can you believe that? He did create the sun or the moon just for light or heat. The number one reason was to send signals. It's his signature. Well, the nice thing about a eclipse, there's no false prophet can manipulate it. And it also speaks to every language and tongue. And if you remember in Daniel, the Antichrist changes the times and the seasons. Well, that's what he did. He got the Christians on a solar calendar. And that's why we need to wake up. We need the solar calendar for the world, but we have to be on God's calendar to know the times and the seasons.
When you're speaking about God's calendar, we're talking about the keepers of that calendar, which are the Jewish people. And,
exactly.
And it's very important for us to understand that it is mathematically and in every sense,
yes,
perfect. With a Gregorian calendar, a Caesar calendar, pagan calendar, like you said, you know, we have a leap year. So every 4 years, we got to try to catch up. So there's all kinds of other issues and problems with it. But God set the calendar. You're right. And it's a calendar that we should be paying very, very close attention to. So with that, as I was talking about what we all, most of us experienced, old enough to experience, was the four blood moons. Can you talk just for a moment about your discovery of that when you really looked and saw the history of the Trinidad and the four blood moons?
Yeah, it's mind-blowing because I love astronomy. I've always loved astronomy, and we know from Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and I've always been looking up, thinking of his glory. And one morning, I was in my prayer closet, which was literally my walk-in closet, and I had noticed by looking at NASA's website, there were four total lunar eclipses in a row in 2014 and 2015. And NASA records 5,000 years of eclipses, clear to 1,000 years from now, because it's all math.
And it's all math because it's perfect, correct?
Perfect. I mean, perfect. This is science. I mean, God is the ultimate astronomer, the ultimate mathematician. The only reason NASA knows is because God put it in their little pea brain how to figure it out. And so according to NASA, there's been 12,000 solar eclipses over 5,000 years and 12,000 lunar eclipses over 5,000 years. Now, these are different types of solar and different types of lunar. There's your total lunar, total solar, partial lunar, partial solar. You know, among the lunar, you have what's called penumbral. Among the solars, you have what's called a hybrid. But of those 12,000, the average for both solar and lunar total eclipses is you only get one every year and a half for 5,000 years. Now, 5,000 years is a pretty good chart to determine an average. You only average one total lunar eclipse every year and a half. Well, I noticed there were four total lunar eclipses in a year and a half. And when anything is that astronomical, and I had read Genesis 1:14 that God made them for signs, it hit me, oh my gosh, God is trying to communicate with mankind. But I wanted to be sure. So I looked at the last time there were four total lunar eclipses in a row. Now, you have to look at the odds of this. There's no partials in between, no penumbral in between. Okay, this is four total and in a row. And God told me, put them on the biblical calendar. And I did. And then the odds went off the charts because they fell on Passover and Tabernacles, Passover and Tabernacles, 2 years in a row. And then I looked at the solar eclipses that were falling like on Rosh Hashanah, okay, Tishrei 1, and I believe on Nisan 1. And it's like, oh my gosh, I was just going nuts. And I thought, my goodness, when was the last time this happened? Let's do some verification of these astronomical odds. Well, then I noticed it happened during the Six-Day War for Israel. And then I went back, and it happened right at the War of Independence. And then I went back further, and it happened around 1492 when they were all kicked out of Spain. And so I'm just the odds were so off the charts. I knew this was God speaking to mankind, but I had no idea what the 2014-2015 eclipses meant. Now, I discovered this clear back in 2008. I wrote about it since 2008, and it went all over the internet, but I didn't even think of writing a book because I'm not an author. I've never written a book. And then everyone else was writing books about my discoveries that a publisher said, Bills, why don't you write it? It's your discovery. And I said, well, I don't know how to write a book. And they said, well, give me 50,000 words in the next month and we'll do it for you. Okay. But so that's how it unfolded. And I just recently, over the last month, discovered what the 2014-2015 blood moons were about. A lot of people say I was proclaiming all kinds of things, but I wasn't. Everyone else was. But what I just discovered is so unbelievable, it is off the charts.
Well, so you said an awful lot there. Let me just clarify to our audience there. What Pastor Mark has done here is he went back and he looked at the history of the four blood moons. He was talking about 1967. What was significant about 1967? Well, that was the Six-Day War. It was significant because Israel recaptured Jerusalem. And God's prophetic time clock is always ticking down when the Jewish people are in control of Jerusalem. You look at 1948, what happened there? Well, the nation of Israel became a state. And when you take it all the way back, like Pastor did here, to 1492, well, what was significant about 1442? The significance of that was that Christopher Columbus was being expelled out of Spain. He didn't leave on a charter ship. He didn't leave on a cruise ship to go settle the seas of the world. He had a choice to be made. He either stayed in Spain and was beheaded by King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, or he could leave. And so he left. Why did he leave? Because he was Jewish. He was Jewish. All of these were very significant moments in history. Now, Pastor, you were just getting ready to tell us what you have found that the significance of the four blood moons actually were from 2014 and 2015.
Okay, I don't know how many of your listeners are aware of this, but in Leviticus 25, it talks about the Jubilee.
Yes.
Now, the Shemitah cycle is every 7 years, and that's where there's an economic reset, and that's where we got our seven-year bankruptcy law from.
Because our listeners are a lot of Christians. We do have a lot of Jewish people that are listening to the show, but can you explain Shemitah, and when does that seven-year period typically begin?
Okay, good point. Just like Saturday or the seventh day was a day of rest, God said for the land of Israel, the seventh year was also the land of Israel was to rest, and there was to be an economic reset. If the United States would have that kind of a banking system, I tell you what, we'd just not be in the trouble economically that we are. But every 7 years was an economic reset. And I want to bring this up because this will come up in the future in our discussion. The problem, the reason of the Babylonian captivity, when the Jews were transported to Babylon for 70 years, It's because they did not keep the Shemitah year. So there's the Shemitah cycle of 7 years, and then the seventh year is the Shemitah year. But because for 490 years they didn't honor that, and the land didn't get a rest those 70 times, God let the land rest for 70 years while Israel was in Babylon.
It's really amazing. It really, and again, this is so important about why God does what he does. There are real reasons about this. So, okay, so we understand now the Shemitah. We understand how that works.
The Jubilee, what happens, you take the seven times 49. And so the following year, the 50th year was the year of Jubilee.
And the significance
and the
of Jubilee?
Jubilee, the land got a rest, an economic reset, but also the land in Israel wasn't sold, it was leased, and everyone got their land back every 50th year. Now, a lot of Christians don't know how to know when a Hebrew or when the year of Jubilee is or the Shemitah year, but guess what? It's all based on math. It is so simple. You just look at the Hebrew year. If the Hebrew year is divisible by seven, it's the Shemitah year. If the Hebrew year is also divisible by 49, the next year is the year of Jubilee. So everybody makes it so complex, but it's so simple.
I agree. In the way you described it, makes it very simple for us to understand. The only thing you have to know is what is the Jewish year.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to know what the year is. It's 5784 right now.
Yes. Well,
now going back.
Okay,
now
so now let's go back to the four blood moons and what you discovered now as a result of what God was trying to tell us.
Okay. The year, the day the year of Jubilee is proclaimed is always on Yom Kippur, which is Israel's Day of Atonement. That's what it says. In Leviticus 25, on Yom Kippur is when they declare the year of Jubilee. Okay, so now I'm going to tell your audience when the last Jubilee began and ended. The last Jubilee was in 1973, on Yom Kippur of 1973.
Okay.
50 years later is last year. 2023. The year of Jubilee ended in 2023. Now, get ready to fasten your seatbelts. The 1967 Four Blood Moons was a seven-year warning of the year of Jubilee beginning on Yom Kippur of 1973. And the blood moons always speak of war. Well, guess what happened? On Yom Kippur, 1973, the first day of the year of Jubilee was the Yom Kippur War.
Wow.
That's what's called the Yom Kippur War.
Right.
It happened on Yom Kippur. And it was the very first day of the year of Jubilee that it began on. And then 50 years later, what happens? Well, in 2014, 2015 were the four blood moons. And they were another seven-year warning of the last day of the Jubilee. And what do you see? In October of last year, it was the very last day of the year of Jubilee that the Iron Swords War took place. So here we see a 50-year Jubilee cycle beginning, bookended by wars. And God pre-warned both with the four blood moons.
So you're saying the October 7th attack was directly related to the end of Jubilee?
It was. It is. It was the last day of the 50-year Jubilee cycle from Yom Kippur in October, in 73.
So, Pastor, were there warning signs to Israel from, I'm talking now from a biblical standpoint, coming to the end of Jubilee, would there have been enough information for them to know that something like the attack of Hamas was going to take place?
If they were on, if they understood the times and the seasons, they have the times and the seasons, but they don't know how to read the times and the seasons.
Right.
It's just like in one sense, we know in Ecclesiastes, there is a time to plant and a time to pluck. But the problem is most Christians and Jews are plucking at planting time and planting at plucking time. There's a time for peace and a time to war, just like a time to be born, a time to die. There are months that are destined for war. If you know God's cycles, you know when the time of peace is and when the time of war is. For example, the month of Iyar, that's the month after Nisan. That's the second month. It is definitely a month for war. How do I know? First off, the war for independence was in the month of Iyar. The Six-Day War was in the month of Iyar. Amalek attacked the first time in the month of Iyar. And that was the month when everyone was murmuring and complaining, which brought the Amalek attack. That's when the manna fell and they were murmuring and complaining. That's when they wanted the water, were murmuring and complaining. So when you understand the cycles, you know what time it is. And
I know there's a lot of people
on the biblical calendar.
Yeah, excuse me. I didn't mean to interrupt you. A lot of people do not have a biblical or a God's calendar, a Jewish calendar in front of them. So we have the first of Nisan that's coming up. Isn't that correct?
On April 8th is the first of Nisan, which is the most mind-blowing date in history.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's significant because it's tied directly to the eclipse.
Well, it's significant. Yes, exactly. It's that the darkness that happens during the solar eclipse on Nisan 1, that was the very day of the original plagues back in the original Exodus story of the 3 days of darkness began on Nisan 1. A year later, it was on Nisan 1 that Moses' tabernacle was inaugurated and the glory fell. It was on Nisan 1 when the Jews were still in Egypt. Most people don't realize it. The first commandment, while they hadn't even left Egypt, the first commandment was given to them in Egypt, and it was on my calendar. He said, Nisan 1 is going to be the beginning of the months for you. And he told that to Moses at the new moon. He said, look at in Exodus 12, I think it is, 1 through 2. He told Moses to look at the sky, look at the moon. And it was the crescent new moon. And he said, this is to be the beginning of months. But can you imagine the most important thing for God and man was to get on his calendar? That's we have to. If you want to get married, the husband and wife have to agree on a day. And God was entering a covenant. And he says, the most important thing I'm going to tell you before we even get there, and that is to get on my calendar. And we sell calendars. We have calendars available at our website, esm.us, that has the Gregorian and the biblical calendar intertwined, so you know.
Say that website again slowly so people will be able to write it down.
Yeah, it stands for El Shaddai Ministries, but it's so you don't have to type all that out. esm.us.
So when we're talking about something like the crucifixion of Christ, as an example, did that happen to fall on a specific date of significance? Obviously,
totally.
It was significant to us in every way, shape, and form. But what I'm talking about from a historical standpoint on that exact date, what was it that was so significant that we'd seen in the past?
Okay, this is what is so mind-blowing. When you understand your Jewish or Hebraic roots, first off, he died on a full moon, okay? You can only have a solar eclipse on a new moon. You can only have a lunar eclipse on a full moon. Now, the 3 hours of darkness had absolutely nothing to do with an eclipse. That was just totally miraculous. But it happening on that particular date was Passover. God says in Leviticus 23 that the lamb had to be slain on Nisan 14.
Yes.
For Passover. And then English is so bad to study the Bible in, but in Leviticus 23, it talks about the feasts, of which Passover is one of them. And when we think of feast, we think of food. Well, back in Genesis 1:14, when God said he created the sun and the moon for the seasons, it was the same Hebrew word. So what does the Hebrew word mean, fall, or does it mean food? they both are wrong in English. The word means a divine appointment, like God has a date timer. And he says you have to kill the lamb at 3 o'clock on Nisan 14. And this is why the Lord died at 3 o'clock on Nisan 14. They were called holy convocations. And the convocation in Hebrew means it's mikra, and it means a dress rehearsal. So for 1,500 years, they killed the Passover lamb on Nisan 14 at 3.
At 3 o'clock, because, right?
Yeah. Well, guess what? No father wants his son to die before he does. Well, if that is going to happen, that father says, I'm going to make sure this memorial service or funeral service is out of this world. Well, guess what? God knew he was going to send his son to die. So God says, I'm going to plan the day of his funeral. I'm going to plan the hour of the funeral. I will even determine what songs will be sung at his funeral. Do you know what it says in the Gospels? At the Last Supper, they sang a hymn and went over to the Mount of Olives?
Yes.
I know the words to the song.
I want you to tell us that just in a moment. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Stay tuned. You're listening to Pastor Mark Biltz. He's with El Shaddai, Shaddai Ministries in the state of Washington. He is an expert on all things solar, everything in the heavens and the earth to look at, and tying it directly back to the Jewish calendar and why it's so important for each and every one of you. We're going to get into the eclipse. We'll be talking a lot more about what's going to happen this coming Monday. Stay tuned. God bless you. We'll be right back.
My dad, a gentleman, taught me valuable lessons growing up. Walk closely with God, have a strong work ethic, and always do the right thing. When working with clients, these lessons have served me well. When we meet, you'll have a thorough understanding of the strategies we use. Robin Hopp is here, president of Big State Financial. Ultimately, we will find out what your goals are in retirement. When do you want to retire? Do you have enough saved to retire, or is there a gap? If you want your hard-earned retirement safe, protected from market losses, and an income for life, call me, 210-373-6000. If you're concerned about outliving your retirement savings, call me, 210-373-6000. We're here to serve, and as my dad taught me, always do the right thing. Give me a call, 210-373-6000, 210-373-6000, and let's get started.
You're listening to the God, Family, and Country Radio Show.
America is free. Freedom of speech.
Freedom of religion.
Freedom of enterprise.
And freedom is special and rare.
Well, God bless you. This is the God, Family, and Country Radio Show right here. I'm Pastor Kurt, and in studio with me is Lance Hoppus, my best buddy. We just have such a blessing here for you tonight, folks. If you've been listening for the last half hour, we have Pastor Mark Biltz of El Shaddai Ministries. He is one incredible individual. God has blessed him with an incredible brain. He is well known. He's been on numerous television shows. He's written several best-selling books, and everything he has done has been something that's been truly amazing. And Pastor Mark, again, I'm really grateful and thankful that you're here. There's been so much bad information about things that are going on, especially with this eclipse. Tonight, we wanted to make sure we had the information correct, and we wanted to make sure that we were giving the listening audience the very best information so that they could be prepared for what's really going to take place on Monday. Now, when we took a break, you were talking about that they were just heading out to the Mount of Olives, and they were about ready to sing a hymn, and you were going to let us know that hymn.
Yes. What's amazing, King David lived 1,000 years before Messiah, and God inspired King David to write the funeral hymn for Yeshua when he died. And their music book was the Psalms.
Yes.
And for 1,000 years, Psalms 118 was the final hymn every Passover. So the last psalm, the last hymn they sang was Psalm 118, right before he went over and was betrayed and rejected. Well, in Psalm 118 is the words to the song, "This is the stone the builders have rejected. It's become the headstone of the corner."
The cornerstone.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The following morning, they sing the, what's called the Hallel, Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, three times every Passover. So, and they sing it at the morning offering at 9, at noon, and the evening offering at 3. So in Mark, I believe it says that Yeshua was bound to the cross the third hour of the day. Well, that's the time of the morning offering at 9 o'clock. At the very same moment they're binding Yeshua to the cross, the high priest is binding the Passover lamb to the horns of the altar that they were going to slay later in the day. And they had, Josephus records, there was like 2 million people in Jerusalem during the feast at that time. And can you imagine a 2 million member choir all outside, all singing? Well, what are they singing as he's being bound to the cross? Psalm 118. What is Yeshua hearing as he's being bound to the cross and the Passover lamb is? Psalm 118 closes with the song or the words, "Bind the sacrifice to with cords, bind them to the horns of the altar." Mm. So they're literally singing what they're actually doing. And then at noon, again, when the lights go out for 3 hours, they're singing Psalm 118. And here Yeshua is suspended between heaven and earth on the cross. And the words are, "The right hand of the Lord is lifted up. The right hand of the Lord is exalted." And then at 3 in the afternoon is the time of the evening sacrifice when the high priest kills the Passover lamb and declares it's finished. And that's what happened. Yeshua died at 3 in the afternoon, declaring it is finished. And all the Jews are singing, "This is the day the Lord has made. The Lord is merciful to all of us." And so, see, God pre-planned all this. But when you know when it happened, and even the hour of it happened, and as you know, I think all Christians believe the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Well, if he fulfilled Passover on Passover, unleavened bread on unleavened bread, first fruits on first fruits, Pentecost on Pentecost. Most Christians don't even know the Jews had been keeping Pentecost every year for 1,500 years.
That's right.
They were the first Pentecostals.
It's amazing, but, isn't it? Is it not amazing?
So that's why there were Jews from every nation there, it says in Acts, because they had to be there. They were required in Deuteronomy 16:16. And so if he fulfilled the spring feast to the day of his first coming, he's going to fulfill the fall feast to the day of his second coming, to the very day. And so that's why they have to understand the fall feast if they want to know when things are going to happen.
My goodness, this information you have, Pastor Bills, I've never heard so much of this stuff, and it's hard to find all this information that you have. So, okay, here we are. We're on a time crunch on this radio show, and you're on a time crunch. Please start tying all this stuff together with what's going to happen on the 8th of April with this eclipse and how all this fits into to God's calendar. I don't believe in coincidences at all. There's no such thing as a coincidence. So what's happening and how does this fit the calendar?
It is so mind blowing. Let me just mention this. Did I mention that there's only been 8 total solar eclipses over the United States since we became a nation?
No,
not yet.
Okay. Here's the thing. Solar eclipses refer to war on the nations. Lunar eclipses refer to war on Israel. Well, if you go to NASA, and I love astronomy, I love math, I love science. They have a record of 12,000 solar eclipses over 5,000 years. And guess what? We have only had 8 total solar eclipses since we've become a nation that not have clipped a corner, but have literally gone from west to east, south to north. Only 8. Guess when they occurred? In the 1700s, they occurred during the Revolutionary War. In the 1800s, they occurred during the Civil War. In the 1900s, they occurred during the Vietnam War. Okay, I hope everyone sees a pattern here.
Right.
And so in the 2000s, the one that happened, we had a total solar eclipse that went from like Oregon all the way through the Carolina.
And but, you're talking about the one that was 2017.
Yes, 2017, the Great American Eclipse. But what's amazing is that one was the most different of all of the eclipses, because that eclipse only crossed the United States, not Mexico, not Canada. It's like the United States was marked. Well, guess what? Now, 7 years later, interestingly, this next total solar eclipses, and very rarely do solar eclipses even intersect, but to have one exactly 7 years apart is also biblically amazing. But this one going south to north intersects right in southern Illinois in a place known as Little Egypt.
Hmm.
There's even cities all around it called Cairo, Thebes, Goshen, Karnak. There's an Egyptian health hospital there. The school's university's logo is a pyramid and the god Horus, and it's right over the Madrid Fault. And this is where it's going. But what's amazing, it happens on the very same day that the original plagues in Egypt happened, the 3 days of darkness. Okay, it's also, like I said, the same day that Moses' tabernacle was set up and the glory fell, the same day that God told Moses, here's when to begin. But it also intersects where you guys are in Texas. There is an area in Texas known, because the reason why is because there was another solar eclipse annular that happened 1 week after the October 7th massacre with Israel. And it went from Oregon down through Texas. So this one is like a capital letter A. Think of a capital letter A, what the 2017 one, you know, is the right leg. The October, 15th one was the left leg, and now this is forming the bar of the capital letter A on October 8th. Well, where it intersects is in an area of Texas that goes from San Antonio to Dallas to Houston, known as the Texas Triangle, the number one human sex trafficking place in the entire United States.
Yeah, something we're obviously not proud of.
And there's a city in that triangle called Jonah and another one called Nineveh. And the other thing that's most amazing is how God is such a mathematician and a scientist, but also an artist. I think we mentioned that the Hebrew word for sign is also a letter. It's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet called Tav.
Mm-hmm.
And the letter Tav is like RT. Think of RT, all right? It's a cross, but also think of it as an X if it's on its side. Just like if someone can't write, they would write an X for their signature because it was the letter Tav, and that means signature. That is God's signature, the ancient font for the Hebrew. So God's signature is right on this little Egypt. Well, that's the last letter. Well, guess what? Now we have with the Texas eclipse, from last October, we now have what looks like our letter A, which was the ancient Hebrew letter for the first letter, the Aleph. So here with these eclipses, we're seeing the Aleph and the Tav's signatures totally all over it. But this is what is more mind-blowing. The letter Tav has a numerical value of 400. Just like Roman numerals, a V is 5 and an X is 10. The letter Tav is 400, and it means a sign. Now, when you look at the sun and the moon, I mean, could a one-story building ever hide a 400-story building?
No.
It only can based on science, and God made it scientifically that way. Do you know the sun is exactly 400 times larger than the moon and exactly 400 times further away from the earth, which is why they look the same size, and the moon can block out the sun like your thumb can block out someone's head? So here the very sign of God is scientifically proven with the eclipses themselves with the numerical value of 400.
Wow.
Whew. Okay. So where is this taking us in? Okay. What else is getting ready to happen along with the eclipse?
Okay. Well, now I'll tell you. I just wanted to give all them. See, I'm not. I always jokingly say I'm a nonprofit ministry. I mean that by don't try to
nonprofit. He's not trying to be prophetic, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Right. But I'm more like a weather forecaster, and I say, hey, I see a Hurricane 5 coming at us, prepare, and that's all I'm trying to do. I'm forecasting a war coming right here to the United States in many ways, and I will explain. And that's why I wrote the book, America at War, 24 through 26. It's going to be over a couple of years, guys. And all the reason why these eclipses, it's when they fall over the next 2 years, the solar and lunar eclipses. I'll have to explain that after I do the wars real quick. But here's what's going to happen. Right now, militarily, we are at our weakest point we've ever been at. And Amalek, who is the number one enemy of God, God says, I will have war with Amalek in every generation. Hitler was the Amalek in that generation. Iran, Hezbollah, that axis of evil is the Amalek in this generation. And God is preparing to go to war. That's why if the church doesn't understand this, they're not going to be prepared. Poor Israel didn't understand this. They didn't realize this was a time of war. They thought it was a time of peace, Nick, having their little, you know, musical festival.
Yes.
No, it's a time of war that we're in. This is why, I'll go into that later. But so I see us being attacked this year, internally and externally. I see the right against the left. You know, this whole election is going to be complete chaos. It may not even be held. I also believe we're going to see riots between the pro-Palestinian, pro-Israelis. We're also going to see riots between the immigrants and the anti-immigrants. We're also going to be seeing riots happen between like race riots. But more than anything, all while we're at our weakest point with no political leader around this election at all that doesn't have dementia, I think the big problem is we're going to have – we've let so many illegal terrorists come in, welcome them in. And a report just came out today that the government said, hey, we're expecting internal terrorist attacks. I was shocked because that's what I was writing about a year ago. And I see terrorists blowing themselves up on bridges, at gas stations, in grocery stores this year. And it is going to so freak everybody out. It's 9/11 all over, but 10 times worse, even though fewer may die. Because you don't know who's in the grocery store aisle next to you. You don't know who's at the gas station next to you, who's driving over that same bridge next to you. So with all the internal chaos going on by ourselves, we're going to be having attacked. But I also believe that is when China is going to attack Taiwan. That is when North Korea is going to attack South Korea. That is when Iran and Hezbollah are going to attack Israel. And there's nothing America's going to do. We can barely support the Ukrainian-Russia war. You have three more wars going on. It's going to be devastating.
You know, Pastor, this is stunning to me that you're saying all these things, because these are the very same. Oh, I wish I could say this is different, but it's not. It's the very same thing that I've been seeing in my head of what's coming. You've left nothing out. You've not added anything to anything that I've seen in my head. Kurt, Pastor Kurt, my best friend and my pastor, we've discussed this together. What do we see coming out of this? And you've named, this is really crazy that the three of us are here together on the radio, not having talked about this with one another before, the exact same things coming. I don't see any way around it. It's all setting up like pins in a bowling alley, and now the ball is coming down perfectly lined up for a strike. Yep. So the United States.
And there's one more thing I want to bring up that is so important. The big problem is we don't know the difference between a million, a billion, and a trillion, except for adding zeros. So I have a way of explaining this so everyone, it becomes real. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Now, if atoms was 6,000 years ago and 1 trillion is 32,000 years, and yet we are $34 trillion in debt, and now they're saying we're going to go $1 trillion in debt every 100 days now?
Yeah.
We're economically, we are at the break. Our whole economy is going to come crashing down by the end of this year.
It's toast.
So, Pastor, we want to get back to the eclipse in just a second, but what Lance was saying is true. We've been talking about this for quite a bit. We've talked about it on the radio. The approach that I had to get to the same conclusions that you have gotten to was to keep my eye on Israel. One of the most significant things back to the four blood moons in 2014 and 2015 that I saw was when the U.S. abstained from the U.N. vote at the U.N. Security Council to divide the state of Israel. I looked at that and I said, well, is this a fulfillment of Joel? No, because it hasn't been physically divided. But then I looked at it and I thought, the nations of the world have declared it.
The intent is there.
The intent is there for it. And of course, we saw that event take place. And then as we're looking more recent to the things that are going on, God told us very clearly, what you do to Israel, I will do to you. Yeah. And so the approach that I've been taking to come to the same conclusions that you have is not been to the detail of what you have, but to look and see what we have done. Now we are a nation with an administration that has completely turned its back on Israel.
We had the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, went and met with Netanyahu. And when he met with him, they were discussing, the ceasefire. This is when they first started talking about ceasefire. And I think this was the second or third visit that Blinken had with him. And this is when I said, uh-oh, this is not good for the United States. Blinken told Netanyahu, he says, you're going to do a ceasefire. And Netanyahu came back to him. He said, no, you're not. He said, well, here's the situation from Tony Blinken. You don't have the credit. You don't have the credit as a nation to continue the war. There was so much meaning in what he said. You don't have the credit. In other words, you don't have the horsepower with the United States for us to keep supplying you with weapons and arms and financially. And consequently, what happened after that? The United States has cut off weapons, arms, and financial assistance. We have just drawn it way, way down to where Israel's getting practically nothing from us now. And people in the United States are in the streets screaming that we support Palestine. It's the intent. It doesn't even have to be the action. The intent against Israel from the United States is horrifying when we take a look at what God's intent for those who turn on Israel is. God's intent is nothing good for anybody that turns their back on Israel.
And I want to jump in here. This is why within hours that giant container ship tore down the bridge, which was the Francis Scott Key Bridge, the Star Spangled Banner national anthem saying America's going down now.
Yep.
So we've got about 5 minutes here before we go to break. We've recognized that we've come to the same conclusions. We did it. I think you probably did it in both ways. For me, I was looking at one thing, the state of Israel. So you've told us that what April 8th will be the sign of Amalek. Do I have that correct?
Amalek is going to attack because the Amalek attacked the first time in Iyar, the second month. So, the next time he attacked was at Purim, which is in Adar, the 12th month. And so now the next month to attack is the month of Nisan, which is right in the middle between the 12th and the second month. And there's a prophecy that says it's going to happen then. And I'll tell you when we get back.
Yeah, well, we've got about 4 minutes. Do you need more than that?
Okay, I don't know. Do we have another time segment?
We do. We have one more after this.
Okay. In Daniel chapter 10, I believe it's Daniel 10, this is when he was praying and fasting for 3 weeks. If you remember, And a messenger came finally and said, I was going to be with you from the first day you started praying, but I was at war with the king of Persia. That's Iran. Right. And I believe heavenly wars, when they take place, they're shadowed on earth with wars. And what happened? Michael, the archangel, came, and he was fighting the prince of Persia to free this other angel to go talk to Daniel. And when you read it, he said, the vision I'm telling you is what's going to happen to you in the last days. So it's a vision of our time. So we have to look at that as what's supposed to happen in our day. Well, then after that, he says, now I got to go back and fight against the prince of Persia again. That was in the month of Nisan. Look, in Daniel, it was in the first month. And so if the battle is in the first month, and that's the vision of the end times, the battle with Iran, who represents Amalek, God said, I'll have war with Amalek in every generation. This is telling us the month of Nisan that begins on April 8th, I believe is the month Hezbollah and Iran will attack Israel next month.
Right. And you and I talked about it, and we've been talking about it on the radio show quite a bit, that we are at the very beginning of Psalms 83. Psalms 83 Definitely. Is the Battle of the North. And of course, we know that that is Hamas, Hezbollah mostly. But let's talk about the name of Amalek so people have an understanding of the name of Amalek. And let's also talk about the name of Hamas, what they really mean.
Absolutely. Amalek in Hebrew means a nation who chops off body parts. And I just saw an article today where the IDF was mentioning about how Hamas, they love chopping up body parts. And the reason they do it is to sell it back to the Israeli family so they have a piece of the body to bury. But that's Amalek. And then Hamas, if you remember, in Genesis, God destroyed the earth twice, he says, because of the violence. And Hamas means violence. And the other key thing that your listeners have to know, Lot was totally assimilated, and he had no clue what was coming. But Abraham knew and was interceding. Noah knew. And guess what? When you're on God's calendar, do you want to be like Lot or the people that didn't know? Or do you want to be the church on God's calendar? Because Abraham knew when Sodom was going to be destroyed. Noah knew when the flood was coming. And you can know when you understand the timings and the feast, what's coming now.
I have, we have just about a minute before we have to take a break. I have two dear, very dear friends that are retired four-star generals. Both of them served in the White House. And what's interesting is that in private conversations that I had with them, I would ask them, you know, has biblical prophecy ever been a part of any national protection conversations without going into details and telling, you know,
no.
But I got a response just from what Lance just did. It was the same thing. And they said, they started to laugh and they said, Pastor, if we ever brought up something like this, we would be laughed out of Washington, D.C. We would never do that. And yet, everything that you've just laid out for us, everything spelled out very clearly, so we will be able to know what we are up against, is right before us. All we have to do is pay attention. And it's one of the great blessings that God has given to each and every one of us. We're going to take this break. We have Pastor Belts with us for one more segment. God bless you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How many of you remember the Buttercrust Bakery on Broadway? We took field trips there from Carol Bell Elementary and learned about assembly line production. Everyone there had a different job with a common goal, to make bread and deliver it to the grocery stores. At the end of the tour, we got a warm piece of buttered bread and a number two pencil with their blue and white logo on it. I can still remember the smell of that bread baking. Robin Hopp is here with Big State Financial. There are three financial stages similar to that assembly line. Accumulation, preservation, and distribution. You've worked and saved most of your life, and when you're ready to retire, we will help you with a retirement income plan that you can never outlive. Call me, 210-373-6000. Write my number down. It's 210-373-6000. Or go to my website. It's the name of my company, BigStateFinancial.com. A warm piece of buttered bread and a stress-free retirement. Doesn't get much better than that. Hello, South Texas. When it comes to retirement, it's not just what you earn that's important, it's what you keep. I'd like to share an idea with you that can help you keep more of your hard-earned retirement savings. The government controls what you keep through taxation. What if there was a way to turn your retirement savings into tax-free income? Where will your retirement take you? Traveling, spending more time with family and friends, or just relaxing and reading a good book? Speaking of books, I have a great book that you'll want to read right now. Robin Hopp is here. Go to my website, BigStateFinancial.com, and request a tax-free retirement book. Go to my website. It's the name of my company, BigStateFinancial.com, and request a copy of the book, Tax-Free Retirement. It's real and it's free.
Visit BigStateFinancial.com right now and request your tax-free retirement book. That's BigStateFinancial.com.
You're listening to the God, Family, and Country Radio Show.
Have the strength of character to make the world a better place. Leave your children a United States that they will be proud of.
Good evening. God bless you. This is the God, Family, Country Radio Show. I'm Lance Hoppus. Pastor Kurt is in studio with me, my co-host always. I can't thank him enough for the time he has given to this radio program. And we have a guest speaker, Pastor Mark Biltz. He's senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. If you've been listening to the first hour of this program, your head is probably spinning. I can only imagine. And Pastor Biltz, I want to tell you, it's so amazing that you're on this program with us, because we understand now that we are being seen and heard on every continent in the world. Maybe two or three people on each continent, but it's every continent in the world. And like Pastor Kurt said to me one time, he said, just think, there's probably an Irishman sitting in a pub having a draft, and he says to himself, golly, mate, take a look at those guys, will you?
Those two yanks.
Yanks.
Our podcast is reaching quite a few people.
Our minds, it's amazing how our minds and our thoughts in listening to you in the first hour are all coinciding with each other, meaning you, myself, and Pastor Kurt. We're all in tremendous agreement. And so, Pastor Kurt, you've got some things lined up that you want Pastor Biltz to share with us, right?
Yeah, so you've given the Jewish dates for the events that are coming over the next two cycles here of months. What I would like you to do is, if you could really pinpoint it down to us from dates, what we know what's going to happen on April 8th, talking about what will happen and when will we see Amalek appear. And is it date certain or is it month certain? That's what we'd like to know.
Okay. Well, it's over the next 2 years are going to be solar and lunar eclipses. And in my book, I have the exact dates. Okay. And this is what is so mind-blowing, because it is all God orchestrated. I mean, he is the ultimate choir director, the symphony, and he knows all the stars by name. He is just, I just want all your audience to know how wonderful their dad is.
But God bless you. Yes, he is.
God is.
Oh, that's all I want to do.
God is glorify so amazing.
Him and let, you know, everyone see how phenomenal their dad is.
Amen.
Most people know Nisan 1. Okay, like I said, that's the very first day of the religious calendar. But Tishri 1, which is around September, October on our months, is the day Adam was created. And that was the beginning of the civil calendar that they've used from the very beginning. But then it wasn't until a couple thousand years later that they began using Nisan 1. So Tishri 1 is celebration of creation, all of mankind. And just like all of mankind needs to be born again It was on Nisan 1, the religious calendar, that began the religious year. They use both calendars. So many people think they replace them. No, they use both. Just like we have a school calendar, we have a fiscal calendar, they don't replace each other. But get a load of this. After April 8th, which is on Nisan 1, now I have to bring something else out, and I'll try to go slow because there's so much depth to this. Nisan, let me start here. Every tribe, there were 12 tribes, and every tribe was assigned a month. So Judah, if you look at Moses' tabernacle, the 12 tribes were around the tabernacle. Three tribes were on the east, and the leader was Judah. Well, Judah was Leah's son. Leah's kids covered the east side of the tabernacle and the south side of the tabernacle. All right. And Rachel, all of her kids were on the west. So Leah is east where the sun rises. Rachel is west where the sun sets. And here we have solar eclipses 2 years in a row on Nisan 1, Tishri 1. Nisan 1, Tishri 1. It's two witnesses twice that God is showing, and they fall exactly on those dates of the biblical calendar. Now, if those interested want to write that, I'll give all the dates here in just a minute. Now, because the sun is bigger than the moon, the suns represent Rachel and Leah. The moons represent their handmaids, Zilpah and Bilhah. They were on the south and the north. So now here's the lunar eclipses. Purim, I think everybody knows the story of Purim in the book of Esther, but many may not know that 500 years earlier, no, it was 1,000 years earlier, 1,000 years earlier, King Saul was supposed to kill all the Amalekites. This is about 1,000 BC. King Saul is supposed to kill all the Amalekites, but he doesn't. He spares the king and several others. So what happens 500 years later? You have the story of Esther, and guess what? Mordecai was a direct descendant of King Saul. Haman was a direct descendant of Agag. He was of the royal line. So because he didn't obey, 500 years later, all the Jews are about to be wiped out by Amalek. Mm-hmm. And that's what the whole story of Purim is about. Well, Iran is Amalek and Hezbollah. Well, guess what? There are four total lunar eclipses that happen 2 years in a row, and they all fall on Purim. And then on Elul 15, which is the month of repentance, Elul 1 is the day John the Baptist was baptizing and Yeshua was baptized and went into the wilderness for 40 days, coming out on Yom Kippur. Okay, the same day Moses was up there for 40 days, the same day that Jonah was prophesying to Nineveh. It was all, that's why you need to know the months and what happened so you can understand that's the month of repentance. So here, there's a total lunar eclipse on Elul 15, followed by Purim. Elul 15, followed by Purim, Adar 14. And so I'll give your audience the dates on our calendar. Of course, April 8th is the solar eclipse, followed by September 18th of this year, a lunar eclipse, followed by October 2nd of this year, an annular solar eclipse, followed by March 14th of 25, a total lunar eclipse on Purim, followed by March 29th of 25, which is a solar eclipse on Nisan 1 again, followed by September 7th of 25, a total lunar eclipse, followed by September 21st of, which is Tishri 1 again, a solar eclipse, followed by another total lunar eclipse on Purim again. Now,
it's sort of booked in just like the four blood moons were booked in.
Exactly. But guess what is so amazing? When you go to Numbers 1 and Numbers 10, when they were marching to take the promised land, God got them in military order. And the east would go first, then the south, then the west, then the north, you know, just like an unwinding. These eclipses happen in the same months as they march to war to take the promised land.
Is all this in your book, Pastor?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And how do, yep. What's the name of your book and how do we find it?
It's America at War, 2024 through 2026, the Sons of Light versus the Sons of Darkness. And within this book, I'll tell you a little about the book. It's not a small paperback. This is like an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. It is a hardback. It is all in color. I have full charts. Matter of fact, at the back of the book, I list every Shemitah year and Jubilee clear back to Adam. You can find out instantly with it. This is a reference book. It's like a library, college, university, hardback book, and you can keep it, and you can go back, and you can look at every time. And when you do this, oh, my gosh, this is so mind-blowing.
How do we get the book?
Yes, you can get the book at our website, www.e as in elephant, s as in Sam, m as in monkey, .us, esm.us. Amazing about, and I have all kinds of charts. Oh my God.
One of the things I wanted to get to and talk about for just a moment in the remaining time, because I do want to spend some more time talking about the book, and I want to talk about that, how they can get it. And you can give us a little bit what's in it, but I know everybody needs to get it because this is powerful, powerful stuff. We have to take control of the knowledge and the understanding that has been given to us so that we can be ready for the things that are happening. Jesus gave us seasons. He told us when to be ready. And this is taking it to a level that if you are following it, you're going to find yourself in the very best shape. But let's talk about this for a second. Your comment earlier to me about Genesis 1 and verse 14. And I'll read it very quickly. It says, "Then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and seasons for the days and for the years." Well, when I got that from you, I was immediately drawn back to Luke, the 21st chapter. And I'll read that and then, Pastor, I would love your comments on it, please. Mm-hmm. Luke 21, starting at verse 25. This is Jesus that is speaking. And he says, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and in the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing from fear, and the expectations of those things that are which to come on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Pastor, everything that you've mentioned to us tonight, one of the things that we haven't talked about is the rapture of the church. Is there anything from a prophetic standpoint that you see, is there anything you see in the timeline of where we would see the rapture of the church?
Well, I'll give you some interesting facts, and I only deal with facts. And that is, first off, just now hit me with something I'd never seen in the Bible before till right now when we're talking. He created the calendar. That's what that's saying in Genesis 1:14.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's separating the people of the light from the people of the darkness. Those on God's calendar will walk in the light. Those not will be in darkness.
Yes.
That's so heavy. But Yes, there is. And let me explain it this way. I can tell you when the tribulation will begin. Now, we're supposed to know the times and the seasons. Now, I don't proclaim to set any date for what in Hebrew is called the Natsal, or the, in Daniel 12, it talks about the resurrection of the dead. I do know when the resurrection of the dead will take place, the very day it will take place, but I do not know what year. So I'm not claiming I know the day or the hour, but I know when it happens.
Okay.
It's going to happen on Tishri 1. I have so much Bible, biblical proof, there's no time. But that's in one of I have another book called God's Day Timer, and I prove that the resurrection of the dead will take place. Just like I said, if he fulfilled the spring feast to the day on the biblical calendar, he'll fulfill the fall feast to the day on the biblical calendar. The next event is Tishri 1, the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
And we know from 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, he comes with the clouds and with the sound of the shofar. Well, in the biblical calendar, what they do, they blow the shofar 100 times, and the last blast is known as the last trump.
That's right.
That's what he was talking about. Everything refers to Rosh Hashanah for that event, but I don't know what year. Now, when it comes to the tribulation, this may come as a shock to everybody, but the prophet Daniel was Jewish, right? Here's my point. We know there's a seven-year time frame left, right?
Yes.
Well, guess what? This is why I told you the story earlier. The seven-year time – the reason – well, Daniel's prophecy was of 70 weeks, right?
Correct.
That's 70 weeks of years. That's 70 Shemitah weeks. Therefore, there's 1 week left. It's not any random 7 years that starts any day, any month. It's a Shemitah week. So the tribulation has to begin the first year of a Shemitah cycle. So when's the next Shemitah cycle? This is why I have the calendar in the back of my book. Right now, we're in the middle of a Shemitah cycle. So there's no way the tribulation can begin. The next Shemitah cycle begins during the World Economic Forum 2030. It happens the fall of 2029 on Rosh Hashanah begins the next Shemitah cycle. So if the tribulation doesn't begin then, it can't begin for 7 more years. So I believe we're at the place where more than likely 2029, 2030 will be the beginning of the 70th week. Now, I'll let everybody put the rapture wherever they want to put it within that time frame.
There's obviously discussions. I tend to believe that
Rosh Hashanah, no doubt. And so everyone should be looking up, you know, for the next 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I believe in a pre-trib tribulation. Jesus told us in Revelation 3:10 that he would keep us from the hour of trial. And that's really the last, pretty close to the last mention that we hear of the church. The attention turns directly back to the Jewish people after that, after the third chapter. But
why I'd be looking up every Rosh Hashanah the next 5 years. But if you don't know when it is, what good is it?
What good is it? Is exactly right.
Exactly. You won't be aware. Everywhere it says he comes as a thief in the night, if you look at it, it's to the foolish virgins. It's to the evil servants. It's to the sleeping church. When you look at it in context.
But that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because that's where the church is today. The church has no idea where we truly are. They have no idea of the calendar and how important the Jewish calendar is to us. So having said that right now, where we've got everybody's attention up for this, I want everybody to have the opportunity to buy one of the calendars that you have created that is both the calendar that we are on now, the Gagarin calendar. Yeah. It's a Caesar pagan calendar that we're on that's based solely on the sun to the Jewish calendar, and how you've meshed those together, because the Jewish calendar is in perfect mathematical harmony, both the sun and the moon. And so how is it, and speak very slowly to them, how they can get that calendar?
Yes, and I want to point something out. We have a new calendar coming out that starts this Rosh Hashanah. or Tishri 1, and it goes all the way to 2026. These are 16-month calendars. The calendar, if they want to buy one right now, it goes to the end of this year. If they wait in another month, as far as to buy the calendar, if they wait another month, we'll have a calendar that goes all the way to 2026, and it's going to have all the eclipses on it as well. So, but you could get one now, it's on sale, and also get one that goes to 2026. I don't mind if they get both, but I just want people to be aware of that.
So I was just going to ask you for your reasoning why you did it every 16. I know the reasoning why for the 16 months. However, why would we not, because we know mathematically going forward, why would you not create the calendar that would go ahead and take us through 2030?
Well, in one sense, I have it in the back of my book. I go to 2060 or 2070 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
With when the Shemitah cycles are. But we produce a calendar every year.
So we get the calendar, the same place we get your book. We get the calendar by going
exactly. www.esm.us.
Right. There you go.
Give it to him one more time, Lance.
It's www.e as in Edward, S as in Sam, M as in monkey, .us. www.esm.us. Is that correct, Pastor?
Yes, it is.
Bueno.
Pastor Mark, we have about 6 minutes before we know you have to go. Would you take this 6 minutes, please, and share with our listening audience, which is large, what they need to know beyond all the other things that you've just shared with us? What's most important to them and their families right now?
Well, the most important thing is your relationships. Relationships, not only with your family, but with the Lord himself. The thing we need to do, I mean, there's not much you can prepare for when the tsunami's coming, except run, okay? But we can't run from the world events.
Can't run from this.
Coming. Nope, that's just right. So to me, the number one thing is make things right now. Make things right with your friends, your family, your relatives. Turn to God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and realize what's important. What's important is your relationship with the Lord and with each other. That's the number one thing. And stop doing the crazy things you're doing.
Do you realize, folks, what Pastor just said there? The reason why he was saying make things right is that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, God will not allow you to enter the kingdom of heaven. He was clear about that. And making sure that you are right with relationships. You've forgiven them in your heart. You've forgiven them. These things are very important. The things that we've been talking about today, in terms, when you're thinking about God's prophetic time clock, when you're talking about eternity, we're down to less than nanoseconds before all hell breaks loose.
Pastor Biltz, sorry to interrupt you there, Pastor Kurt, but we're short on time.
Yeah.
How much is your book?
Well, it's a hardback in color, $39, but we have it on sale for $29 right now.
$29.
$29.95.
That's yep. Very inexpensive for what they're going to get. The calendars, how much are the calendars?
Well, I think it's worth a lot more than two Starbucks, which is about the same price.
Do what?
He says it's worth more than two Starbucks.
I call Starbucks $5. So, okay, your calendars run what, about $10, $5?
Yes, $10.
Yeah. $10. Very good, because I want to know that so on our future shows I can start pushing this stuff. I want people to know about it. They need to hear about it, and they need to not just hear about it. They need the opportunity that they can give themselves to be able to learn about it. And boy, I tell you, Pastor, you are so correct, Pastor Biltz, about relationships. And Pastor Kurt, you're so correct. If your relationships with those people that you know aren't squared away, your relationship with God won't be squared away. He's very clear about it. It's time to repent. Time to repent with very, very contrite, sincere hearts of all of our sins. And you know, folks, I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Ask God to make you aware of the sins that we commit on a day-to-day, second-to-second, minute-to-minute basis. The sins can happen in our head. So, you know, we have to be aware of this and be ready because the time is getting short. You know, Pastor Biltz, I've talked to Pastor Kurt, again, my best friend and my pastor. And, you know, I've told him, I said, you know, Pastor Kurt, we've seen wars and rumors of wars from the beginning of man, but we've never seen 1948 before. And 1948 was, I believe, when God took and flipped over the hourglass. Yep. That was the beginning of Israel. Yep. And the clock is now running.
Pastor, we've got 2 minutes left before we have to close the show. Would you close us in prayer, please?
Oh, I sure will. And I want to add one thing real quick, and that is this. The book of Ruth was very prophetic because Ruth means friend. She befriended the Jew, went to Israel, worked the harvest, and brought forth King David. Orpah means to turn your back on. And Orpah turned her back on Israel and went back to her pagan gods. And Orpah beget Goliath. The last battle is going to be in the church between the David church who supports Israel and the Orpah church who doesn't. And let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we just thank you so much that you want us to get our relationships right, and may our relationship also get right with the Jewish people. May the blinders be removed from them, and we also pray that any blinders be removed from the church. Father, that they would wake up, that the Jews would wake up, and we would realize what's really important, and it's our relationship with you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
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 Pastor Mark Belts, I'm just grateful and thankful, sir. I know we'll be trying to get a hold of you again. Stay tuned. God bless you. We'll be right back.
My dad, a gentleman, taught me valuable lessons growing up. Walk closely with God, have a strong work ethic, and always do the right thing. When working with clients, these lessons have served me well. When we meet, you'll have a thorough understanding of the strategies we use. Robin Hopp is here, president of Big State Financial. Ultimately, we will find out what your goals are in retirement. When do you want to retire? Do you have enough saved to retire, or is there a gap? If you want your hard-earned retirement safe, protected from market losses, and an income for life, call me, 210-373-6000. If you're concerned about outliving your retirement savings, call me. 210-373-6000. We're here to serve, and as my dad taught me, always do the right thing. Give me a call, 210-373-6000, 210-373-6000, and let's get started. How many of you remember the Buttercrust Bakery on Broadway? We took field trips there from Carol Bell Elementary and learned about assembly line production. Everyone there had a different job with a common goal, to make bread and deliver it to the grocery stores. At the end of the tour, we got a warm piece of buttered bread and a number 2 pencil with their blue and white logo on it. I can still remember the smell of that bread baking. Robin Hopp is here with Big State Financial. There are 3 financial stages similar to that assembly line: accumulation, preservation, and distribution. You've worked and saved most of your life, and when you're ready to retire, we will help you with a retirement income plan that you can never outlive. Call me, 210-373-6000. Write my number down. It's 210-373-6000, or go to my website. It's the name of my company, BigStateFinancial.com. A warm piece of buttered bread and a stress-free retirement. Doesn't get much better than that.
You're listening to the God, Family, and Country Radio Show.
America is freedom. Freedom of speech.
Freedom of religion.
Freedom of enterprise.
And freedom is special and rare.
This is the God, Family, Country Radio Show. I'm Lance Hoppus, Pastor Kurt. If you've been listening to the show for the last hour and a half, you've also heard another gentleman. I've sat back and got quiet in the whole thing. There was so much to hear and so much to learn. His name was Pastor Mark Biltz, B-I-L-T-Z. He has a website, www.esm.com. www.eastern.us. That's www.e as in Edward, s as in Sam, m as in monkey, .us. I strongly suggest that you take an opportunity and to give yourself an opportunity to get his book, America at War. America at War.
2024, 2026. That's the name of the book. America at War, 2024, 2026.
Okay, I had missed that part. Also, when you get the book, it's on sale right now at $29.95. It's a hardback book. It's got a lot of color in it, and calendars are in it that are terribly, terribly important to you because they're the calendars of God, not the calendar that we work on. It's God's calendars are all in that Bible or in that book. That book is going to be full of so much information. It covers all the important things that you need to know about, and it's America at War 24-26.
So one of the things that's in that book, though, Lance, that I wanted to bring up, so you and I have talked about it many times on the show, is this whole idea of what the United States is trying to push through a two-state solution, quite frankly, the rest of the world. Spoken of in Joel in the third chapter, God says through Joel, he says, I will bring all nations down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered amongst the nations, and they have also divided up my land. God said there that every nation that has gone against Israel, trying to divide up the land of Israel, that God will bring them into judgment. A two-state solution will never work for Israel. As the Bible plainly describes and declares here for us, that God is going to bring terror to all nations who participate in dividing his land. That's just the truth of his word.
Well, and you know, Pastor Kurt, it's so utterly insane to even consider such a thing. It's insane. How could that ever work for any nation? How can any nation go and divide themselves in half and say, you're my enemy, but we need to make peace with each other, so I'm going to give you half my country?
Yeah, you came in and you killed 12,000 or 1,200 people with us. You've wreaked havoc for the last, 70 years, almost 70 years you've been around here. You've done all of these things, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to reward you. We're going to give you your own state.
That's
a result of doing those things?
And this is not a racial slur or a racial slang, nothing prejudicial in what I'm about to say here, okay? I'm using this as an analogy. This is the same as saying the United States, we're at serious odds with China, and so therefore what we're going to do is we're going to give every city and town in China, to China, that has a Chinatown or Chinese restaurants. So you get to have all those. And now can we be friends? Okay.
Yeah, right.
So now we're friends, right? Or, a lot of Chinese people live in California. So we're going to give you California. Does that make us friends now? Okay, we're friends. Right. Gavin Newsom would probably say it's a good idea.
They've already taken a lot of our farmland. So
yeah, this is insane. It's ludicrous. It doesn't make any political sense. It doesn't make any kind of sense.
It's evil.
thank you. It is totally.
It's absolutely evil.
Yeah, I shouldn't be laughing because it's not funny. It aggravates me when people laugh when they shouldn't.
Right.
It is not a funny thing. You're right, Pastor Kurt. It is vile. It is evil.
The Bible states that God destroyed the world by floods because of the violence. And the Hebrew word for violence is Hamas. Isn't that crazy? The idea of rewarding evil. I'm always reminded of what Augustine had said to us so very long, but way back into the 400 ADs, where he said to see evil and not call it evil is in itself evil. Well, and I don't care what side of the fence you're on this. It is flat out evil.
When the UN voted recently on a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, they voted hands down, all of them voted unanimously that there needs to be a ceasefire. And in the United States, we abstained from the vote. Now, anybody that thinks that you can abstain from a vote like that, that you're not making a statement, is an absolute idiot.
Oh, you're making a statement.
They made a serious statement. Our nation made a major, serious statement. And if you're Christian or Jew listening to this radio program, we need to be praying for our salvation. We need to be praying for the salvation of this nation, because that means when they abstain from that vote, the United States turned its back on God.
Well, he has a chapter in his book called Trojan Horse, and the terrorist attacks are all but guaranteed this year within our borders. No Trojan horse is ever necessary to attack and destroy this nation.
Well, you know,
because of the fact they're here. Lance, how many times you and I have talked about it?
Again and again.
They're
here. The
FBI's
now saying it.
Well, yeah, the FBI's been saying it for about the last 30 days when they were in Congress. They said it is imminent we're going to be attacked.
You're listening to this radio show. Do not be surprised if you see terrorist attacks right here in Texas start right away, very, very soon this year. Don't be surprised. And we're telling you this because we're telling you, be prepared. Be prepared. Don't let anything stupid go on in your homes. Don't let anything stupid go on in your lives. Be prepared. Pay attention. Pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to where you go. Pay attention to where your family goes. You need to be paying attention.
Something that happened to me personally as a result of 9/11 is I learned very early on, because of that attack, that we had to be very careful. In other words, when I'm going to walk into a restaurant, as an example, one of the things I'm doing is they're maybe taking me and seating me to my table. I'm looking around. I want to know where the exit is. I want to know how in the world am I going to get out of here.
Very smart move.
Is the table that I'm at. If it happens to happen with inside the restaurant before somebody walks in, is my table in a position where I could flip it over and offer some protection to my wife?
Yep.
This stuff doesn't sound.
It isn't foolishness.
It's not foolishness at all.
No.
To know the way out. You know, I think I shared with you, Lance, quite some time ago, there was a new theater that opened here in San Antonio several years ago. And they had problems with the fire alarms. In the middle of the show, fire alarms start going off. And, of course, everybody is panicked. You know, there was a voice command saying, you know, get up to and head to the nearest exit. And so everybody is getting up, and, about 15 minutes into the show, and everybody's getting up and they're all going towards the lobby, the whole thing. And my wife got up and she says, come on, we've got to go. I go, honey, I'm not going that way.
Going out the back door.
I'm going out the back door is exactly right.
That's right.
That's the safest place for us to go. I'm going the exact opposite of where the huge number of people are going.
Yep. Smart move. You're right.
But that way of thinking, that wisdom comes to me from what Jesus said in Matthew, the 7th chapter, where he said, broad is the way and many there will be led by it that will lead to destruction.
Since 9/11.
Narrow is the way and few there would be that would see the kingdom of heaven.
I got to say that in the past 12 years, my wife and I have not been in a theater. I won't go. I don't go to auditoriums. I don't go.
Yeah.
I don't go to big, where there's big crowds. I don't go. You know what? I've got this incredible device at home.
Uh-huh.
I can get every movie that's ever come on. It's called a TV set, and it's got, you know, it's there. So I you know, I just don't go.
So having said that,
and it's more comfortable.
Having said that, we have to be prepared. You have to be thinking in your mind, how do I get my family out of here if I have to? It always has to be in the back of your mind. It should become second nature to breathing. What do I need to do? Because he goes on to talk about in the book, he says that war is coming to the U.S. It's coming. It's not. And you and I have been talking about this. We know it's coming.
It won't be war with China, and it won't be a war with Russia. You know why? They don't have to.
They don't have to.
Because of what's coming at us.
That's exactly.
It'll be too expensive.
We have done it to ourselves.
They're going to let the destruction take place from within, and they'll pick up pieces.
So, Pastor says that war is coming to the U.S. this year, accompanied by terrorist attacks on U.S. soil. We, as Christians, the general public for that matter, we are at the crosshairs of the judgment of God. And 2024 is the beginning of the year of the upheaval that we'll see with the political chaos, the riots and chaos and religious chaos and social chaos that's going to come. You know, you and I've talked about the election, and we don't usually spend much time talking about this on the show. But it doesn't make any difference. As a nation, we have become so divided as a people. Well, the idea of calling us all Americans is foolishness today because we have divided ourselves into two separate camps, left and right. If the left wins, the right is going to be in a crazy, headspin, fanatic rant. If the right wins, the left is going to be that and more of all these things happen. But what's so interesting about his book is it doesn't necessarily have to be something like that where people might consider it to be called some sort of civil war.
I see groups against groups. Our country has become so divided. I don't really think of a civil war. I think groups against groups are going to be warring fashions.
Chinese men that have come across the border are of military age that have been coming across. We know that ISIS, Boko Haram, we know that Hamas, Hezbollah have all come in through the southern border. They're all here.
Yep. It's a fact. And right across the southern border in Mexico, just a few miles from the border, several different major headquarters for Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
That's not making it up. That's common knowledge from our law enforcement, from our military. And unfortunately, our military is not feared in the world anymore. They're not feared here at home anymore. And our legal system, our police departments aren't feared anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're not feared by criminals, and they're not feared by, take a look at what happened to the border just recently. You know, when our border was rushed by several hundred people, they rushed our border, and it was National Guard on the border, and they rushed them, stormed the border, and pushed on through.
Right. By the way, did you hear that the National Guard, I mean, it's off topic for a second, but the National Guard has been called up for the state of Oklahoma? Because of the massive influx
Arkansas
of people.
Arkansas sent their National Guard to our southern border also.
Well, no, this is not to the southern border. I'm talking about the National Guard for Oklahoma.
Because of the eclipse, right?
Because of the eclipse.
Yeah.
Because they're expecting well in excess of 100,000 people from all over the world because Oklahoma is going to be one of the better places to be able to see this event.
Yeah.
And by the way, for us, I looked at the times on when we're going to see it here in the San Antonio area. If you're in the northern part of San Antonio, you're going to have a better shot of seeing it. But it's going to be around between 1:31 and 1:32 in the afternoon. It will be from beginning to end. In other words, what I'm talking about is where the moon is coming in front of the sun, right, as it's rotating. You'll start to see a small part of eclipse, partial, and then to a half, and then to that full eclipse, which will only last for maybe a minute or two, maybe 2.5 minutes tops. And then, of course, it starts to pass by, and we'll see it. We'll see it come back. But you'll see darkness, or at least dusk, if you will, between for about a 5 minute period. About a 5 minute period of time that's coming across. So it's everything that we had. Pastor Mark Belts talk about was extremely powerful. It certainly takes away all of the craziness of people, of what they've been seeing and what they're looking at on the internet. The takeaway for you and I, and for the takeaway for our listening audience, is we should prepare for war, because war is coming to the United States.
Yeah, the world's not going to explode. It's not going to break out in flames. There won't be floods to destroy the world. We're going to see chaos and mayhem start taking place, we believe, here in the United States. There's nothing for you to do but be prepared. Be prepared. When I say be prepared, I'm going to reiterate what you and Pastor Biltz had said. Get your relationships with your family, with people that you feel that you have, that you have had problems with. You had points of anger. Be sure that you have forgiven everyone within sight, within the depths of your heart, that forgiveness is complete and total in your heart.
Well, that forgiveness also becomes part of your daily walk anyways, with the repentant heart that you're supposed to have.
Yes.
If you don't have a repentant heart, then you have other issues to worry about.
Yep.
But a repentant heart comes first. You know, we have to understand that when Christ gave up his life and he said, "It is finished," and he died on the cross, that at that very moment, the veil of the temple, which was about approximately 2.5 inches, maybe 3 inches thick cowhide, lightning hit it and it ripped it from the top to the bottom. And the significance of that was God. And the significant was of it was of the atoning work of Christ, that you and I and others that are believers had immediate access into the throne room of God.
The darkness that came across the land was extremely significant, because it was not an eclipse.
No.
Was no eclipse. God darkened the land in sorrow for his son. And it was not an eclipse.
Having known this, because prior to the atoning work of Christ, there was this only way of atonement. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, was to take everything to the high priest, and the high priest went behind the Holy of Holies to be able to deliver those repentant hearts to Christ. Or to, I should say, Christ. It is Christ, because he is God. My point here is that we have that access. We have it 24/7. We have the ability at right now to come before him and ask for forgiveness of our lives, of our hearts, the deeds that we have. Because you can't, listen, I would love it if I was not a sinner. I've been a pastor now for almost 24 years, and I'm telling you, I am a sinner. I wish I was not. I repent constantly. Have I become better than where I was 24 years ago? A whole lot better. But that's a sanctification process that you and I are in. And we're growing stronger in our faith. We're also growing in the knowledge and the understanding to not commit the sins that we maybe committed 20 or 30 years ago. But we're still sinners. And it requires us to come with a repentant heart. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about this, because if you belong to God, if you belong to him, if the Holy Spirit is truly in you, all of your sins have been forgiven. Ah, but the kicker is, you pray to God and you don't come before the Holy of Holies with a repentant heart, without a cleansing, you're asking for trouble, and God will not answer you.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Now, to prove my point in that, go back to Isaiah, the sixth chapter. Isaiah, the sixth chapter, where Isaiah is given the incredible gift of being able to see the throne room. When he sees the seraphim with their six wings, he describes what that is. We don't have time to go over what that is right now, but he then realizes where he is in the Holy of Holies. And he realizes that he does not belong there. And he passes a curse on himself. Woe is me, he says, for I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, realized that he did not belong in the Holy of Holies. Every time you pray, you are giving that immediate access into the throne room of God. And if you have been given that immediate access into the throne room of God, you must be cleansed. You must be washed as white as snow for God to be able to take your sin and bury it in the deepest sea, never to be remembered again. He washes you as white as snow, and he clothes you in righteousness. That's when you can come to God and you can ask for whatever you want, to give thanks for all the blessings that you have received, to come with special requests. That's when God hears you. Now, you don't do those things. Does God hear you? Yeah, he hears you, but he won't answer you. The power of prayer is understanding that we come with a repentant heart. And there's never been a time for us to be prayed up. Right now, through this very moment, going forward, making sure and knowing that we have done what God has called us to do, and that we're completing the work that he's called us to do.
I'm hopeful in my heart and prayerful at the same time that as we're approaching tomorrow, April 8th, as that day's coming up on us, that you understand that if you already have your salvation in Jesus Christ, that's the ultimate thing of importance to you. We can, you know, look at all these prophecies, try to predict all these things that are going to happen. I say it laughingly, said it to my brother, told him, don't stop at any Kool-Aid stands. This is not that kind of a message we're giving you. Pastor Kurt and I both want you to know that if your salvation is in Jesus Christ, and if you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you know that you have your salvation with Jesus Christ, there's really nothing for you to be concerned about. But we have to stay right with God. No matter that salvation, we have to stay right with God.
Always, always a repentant heart.
Always, always, always a repentant heart. Don't get weak. Don't ever give in. Don't get weak in heart. Don't get weak in spirit. Don't allow yourself to falter in your faith. You lose someone that's dear to you through death, do not allow yourself to falter on that. Don't allow yourself to get weak. Something disastrous happens to you financially. Don't get weak in your faith. God loves you. That's why he gave us Jesus Christ. God forgives us of our sins, but we have to be repentant to reap the rewards of God's love and God's sins, or God's blessings. In Jesus' name, we pray for you continually. This is the God Family Country Radio Show. We're going to talk to you again next Sunday night.
God willing, we'll be here.
God bless you. Good night.
Like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this. One, you don't need to worry. There'll be days like this. When no one's in a hurry.
Hello, South Texas. When it comes to retirement, it's not just what you earn that's important, it's what you keep. I'd like to share an idea with you that can help you keep more of your hard-earned retirement savings. The government controls what you keep through taxation. What if there was a way to turn your retirement savings into tax-free income? Where will your retirement take you? Traveling, spending more time with family and friends, or just relaxing and reading a good book? Speaking of books, I have a great book that you'll want to read right now. Robin Hopp is here. Go to my website, bigstatefinancial.com, and request a tax-free retirement book. Go to my website. It's the name of my company, bigstatefinancial.com, and request a copy of the book, Tax-Free Retirement. It's real and it's free.
Visit BigStateFinancial.com right now and request your tax-free retirement book. That's BigStateFinancial.com.
My dad, a gentleman, taught me valuable lessons growing up. Walk closely with God, have a strong work ethic, and always do the right thing. When working with clients, these lessons have served me well. When we meet, you'll have a thorough understanding of the strategies we use. Robin Hopp is here, president of Big State Financial. Ultimately, we will find out what your goals are in retirement. When do you want to retire? Do you have enough saved to retire, or is there a gap? If you want your hard-earned retirement safe, protected from market losses, and an income for life, call me, 210-373-6000. If you're concerned about outliving your retirement savings, call me. 210-373-6000. We're here to serve, and as my dad taught me, always do the right thing. Give me a call, 210-373-6000, 210-373-6000, and let's get started. How many of you remember the Buttercrust Bakery on Broadway? We took field trips there from Carol Bell Elementary and learned about assembly line production. Everyone there had a different job with a common goal, to make bread and deliver it to the grocery stores. At the end of the tour, we got a warm piece of buttered bread and a number two pencil with their blue and white logo on it. I can still remember the smell of that bread baking. Robin Hopp is here with Big State Financial. There are three financial stages similar to that assembly line: accumulation, preservation, and distribution. You've worked and saved most of your life, and when you're ready to retire, we will help you with a retirement income plan that you can never outlive. Call me, 210-373-6000. Write my number down. It's 210-373-6000, or go to my website. It's the name of my company, BigStateFinancial.com. A warm piece of buttered bread and a stress-free retirement. Doesn't get much better than that.